chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. And that is found on page 25 in your pew Bible. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love your Lord, your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law, all the law, and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" Well, they said to him, "The son of David." And he said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare ask him any more questions. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, precious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Heart and soul. Heart and soul. The things that we so blithely, so easily say, we give up so easily. Heart and soul. When people are having campaigns to win countries, they say they're looking for the hearts and minds of the people in that country. You win their hearts and their minds, and the rest of it will follow. Well, Jesus has been dueling with these Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, I'm not saying the Pharisees and Sadducees were a bunch of bad people. Pharisees and Sadducees were obeying the law as it had been passed on to them, for the most part. But they were so focused on executing the law. Paul was such a legalistic interpreter of the law. Saul, before he became Paul, was such a legalistic interpreter of the law that they would step across from someone who needed assistance because the law would make them unclean if they touched them. That wasn't what God intended with the law. And here they are. The Pharisees had their first shot at him. And they were discussing. And then the Sadducees come in and they try to trick him into. And in the word that they use in most of these is called parezo. See, the Greek doesn't translate all that quickly or easily to an exact interpretation that we see as English, because the word could be interpreted as test, but it could also be interpreted as trap. So were the Pharisees and Sadducees trying to trap him so that they could undermine his ministry, so that they could quiet him? Because some of the things that he is saying is that they're not obeying the law. It's putting them at risk. Because more people are following Jesus and seeing what he's done, what miracles he's performed. And they're not doing what the Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, the Sadducees tried to get him to talk to them about this, a marriage trap. Whose wife was he? Well, he responded and closed them down. Now it's the Pharisees' attempt. These are very legalistically minded people. So they come to him and they say, "What is the greatest commandment?" Well, you know, in Exodus 20, there are 10 of them. Okay, so the Pharisees are thinking that if he says one of them is more important than any of the others, then they can start picking away at him. Little do they know how smart and wise Jesus is. You know, we are critical of them now, but you know what? 2,000 years later, and we've had all the New Testament, all of the witnesses of Paul, all the witnesses of John, all the witnesses of Peter, so on and so forth, and all of the other people who have grown in this Christian faith, and we still mess up. So let's not be too harsh on these Pharisees and Sadducees, but Jesus sees where they're coming from. But here's what Jesus had said before, that I come not to usurp the law, I come to fulfill it. So in, bless you, who sneezed? That's okay. As a rhetorical question, we didn't have to, Jenny, that's okay. He was not going to respond in the way that they wanted him to, because Jesus didn't come here to solve their problem. Jesus didn't come down here to make it more easily understood for all these smart people. He came to give them the truth. He came to give them the gospel. That's why when he responds to them, as he says, you shall love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. He's saying there is nothing you don't give to the love of God. There is everything about you that's part of that. Now, Matthew was the second of the Gospels, even though when we look at it, Matthew's the first one in the New Testament. Chronologically, Mark was the first of the Gospels that was written. It's just that when they ordered the New Testament, it went by book size, and there's more to Matthew than there is to Mark. Listen to what Mark says in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Essentially talking about the same test with the Pharisees. You shall love your Lord, the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, is one right and the other one wrong? No. Jesus is saying that you love him, you love God with all that you have. And he wants all of you. He doesn't want just a part. He doesn't want just my spiritual growth. That, you know, I give that to God, and all the other stuff is invested in things of the world and things of life. He says, no, with all your heart, because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Where your heart is. If your heart is on God, then that's who you will treasure. With all your soul, with every fiber of your being. And something that's even more than that, because you know what? When we depart from this mortal coil, which we all will leave here. When we depart, you know what's left? Leaving? You know what departs? Our soul. So God wants even that. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. You know what? He wants us to understand him. Now, he recognizes that Pastor Ken down here with this feeble gray matter that he has is not able to grasp all the fine points. But he says he wants me to seek him, because in seeking him, I'll find him. Knock and the door shall be open. Seek and ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. If you don't do any of those things, how in the world can you expect God to give you what you are looking for? Heart, soul, mind, and strength, as Mark says. Why? Because he wants every bit of you. He doesn't want you to, well, okay, I'll give all of those things other than my body, all those things other than my strength. No, he wants all of you. There's nothing that's left out. You don't get to pick what you're not going to give him, because he wants all of you. On the Eastern Shore on Wallops Island, when I walked away from that beach, he told me, if you do this, I want all of you. And I want the best that you can be. I don't want just part of you. I want all of you. When Jesus calls us to do his work, when he sent Betty on these mission trips, he didn't want just part of her. He wants all of us as servants. When we were packaging that food, yeah, there was a certain part of us that was there, but we were physically there. We had to mentally be looking at what was going on. And how many of you were thinking about those people who were going to eat those, receive those? Because he wants us to think beyond just those things that are out in front of us. He wants us to think about those things that are greater than that. Why? Because he doesn't. Oh, these things will fade away. These things are not eternal. This building has been here. This church has been here since 1834. This building's been here since 1890, I believe. And that's a long time in human. But God's Word in the New Testament has been here for 2,000 years. That's the Word of God. That's what He wants. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Every bit of you and every bit of Susan, every bit of Charlie, every bit of Terry, every bit of lovely Linda, every bit of Bob, every bit of Jenny, every bit of everybody. Even you, Mary. Betty, I'm sorry. I'm getting... And how was that, Thomas?
I said even me, too.
Really?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
You think?
I guess so.
I believe too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Every bit of all of us. That's what God wants. And you know, He's not done with those poor old Pharisees after He's sent them on their merry way and put them in their place. He said, "Love your neighbor as yourself is the second, and no less than the first." Because you know what? The first four of the Ten Commandments are how we are in relationship with God. The other six of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 deal with how we are in relation with our brothers and sisters. And he says, love thy neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now the Pharisees were gathered together and Jesus asked them a question. Here's the other piece. You know what? When you go seeking questions, when you go seeking answers from Jesus, he may have some questions for you. Will you give all? Will you do as I tell you to do? Will you obey? Well, he goes back to a point that the Sadducees took as they saw David as the preeminent. You know, there's Moses, there's Abraham, there's Moses, there's David, there's King Solomon. And they were looking at the Messiah, and their idea of the Messiah was to restore that ancient rule in the lines of King David so that they would be in power again. And he says, what do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? Well, they said to him, the son of David. Well, we know that genealogically, when you look at the birth stories of that Mary and Joseph are both of the family of David, genealogically. But that's how humans work. Jesus said, how is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, the Messiah, calls the Messiah Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under my feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? Well, the Pharisees weren't able to answer that question. Nor was anyone able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. And Jesus was just reciting Psalm 110, where David is talking to the Messiah, and the Messiah is talking to him. You know, we have a tendency to think that we ought to be the ones in control, that things ought to be the way we order it. We want to be in control. I'll tell you what. If you want to be in control, then who has your heart, who has your soul, who has your mind, and who has your strength? If you're in control, you have it. If you are giving to God what He is calling us to do, if you give Him your heart, give Him your soul, give Him your mind, give Him your strength, Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to allow to push you through life? Who are you, whose heart, soul, strength? Who has your heart, soul, strength, and mind? God does. Because if you're controlling it, you own it. If you let God have it, then you have given Him your heart and your soul. That's what Jesus wants. He wants all. He wants all. He wants all. Shalom. Peace.